Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Breathe, call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing praise. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is light. the shadows can deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, your name is light that shadows can't deny, your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given such a price. But our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. We sing the name Jesus, 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 Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. We sing the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. You break every chain, 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 break every chain. You sing the name Jesus, you're worthy of all praise. Welcome your presence with our heart filled with praise. Lord, we bow down to worship, and our hands we will raise to surrender. This song, about 20 years ago, and it's still true today. I come before you, Lord, to kneel before your throne. I bring to you my heart to lay all my idols down at your feet. I give you my all. give you my soul. I relinquish all control. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I relinquish all control. I give you my all. I give you my all. I worship you, Lord. In you I'm complete. I ask that you come into my heart of hearts and completely be in charge of me. I give you my all. Give you my all. Give you my heart. I give you my soul. I relinquish all control. I give you my heart, give you my soul. I relinquish all control. I give you my all. I
this morning, let your words go forth to bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome home. It is good to be here with everybody this morning. Whether you are here in the sanctuary with us this morning, or whether you're watching live cast currently or later on at some point, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes to settle back. Open your ears, focus in, and listen closely. Why? Because you are about to hear some pretty powerful words this morning. And I'm not saying that because I'm talking. That's not the point. In fact, the words that are powerful are not even coming from me this morning. I'll be back up here in just a moment, but we're going to start with a special guest speaker this morning, a special guest pastor this morning. And I see a handful of you looking around to try to figure out who that is. You don't have to worry about doing that. Unfortunately, this special guest is not here with us live today. We're going to listen to a pre-recorded message. A message that was spoken by this guest a little bit over a year ago to his own church. And I'm sure many of you have heard teachings from this gentleman before. You've probably listened to some of his podcasts and some of his other words that he has shared before. Personally, I don't think I've ever done this before. I don't think I've ever left the platform and played some other pastor's message for you to listen to this morning. But these words hit me hard. These words are incredibly inspiring. They are thought-provoking beyond belief. And honestly, I think every believer needs to hear these words and think through them. We got a 4-minute video clip we're going to play for you now this morning.
Prayer changes things. The way I like to say it is this: if we could see what happens when we pray, we would never cease to pray. Because we're like, you know, Lord, I don't know, and I don't even feel like you're in the room right now, and I don't even know if you hear me right now, and I don't even know if I hear me right now, and I'm actually getting a little tired, so maybe you're getting a little tired too. Oh, and my phone just pinged, and that distracted me, and oh, look, it's a notification from CNN. I should look at that, because it's important. You know, our prayer journey is a struggle. Because for a lot of it, we got like a wall 3 feet in front of us and a whole crazy world competing around us. But if just for like 10 seconds, God could open up the window of heaven and say, hey, when you just asked me that, I dispatched angels across continents. When you just asked me that, I shifted kingdom plans into gear. When you just asked me that, darkness was weakened and the power of the enemy was destroyed. When you asked me that, a connection just happened across the world. When you asked me that, a door just opened across the country. When you asked me that, heaven just opened and God began to move. When you asked me that, dominoes started moving out that are going to move out not just today, but tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and forever. And if we could see that for a moment, we would just pray all the time. Like the scripture says, when it encouraged me and said, hey, Louie, pray without ceasing. Because when you call on the name of Jesus and access the power of heaven and stand in the gap and agree with God's plans, things happen. And the corollary of that is also true. When you don't pray, doors don't open. Things don't shift. Heaven doesn't open. And somehow, the fullness of all that could be isn't happening. And thus, God is inviting you and me, not because He can't do things without us, but He's chosen to do things with us. And instead of sitting around trying to figure out the philosophical, theological dilemma of how can a sovereign God be influenced by the prayers of a finite man, why not be amazed by the invitation of that sovereign God to say, I want you to pray. I want you to offer up intercession. I want you to get in the equation. I'm inviting you in on what the sovereign God is doing so that in heaven, all of us are saying, I'll tell you one thing. I do not regret the time I spent praying. Got no second thoughts about how much time I spent praying for the salvation of other people. Not just, Lord, help Betty. Lord, help Bob. Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Lord, will you help them? Help them. I get that prayer. I've been praying that this weekend for people I love because I don't know what else to pray for them, honestly. And at some point, we do just say, God, you have to do something. I don't even know what you need to do, honestly, but you do. So, God, will you move? Will you act? Will you intervene? Will you get involved? Will you show your power? Will you get your glory? Will you do a miracle, God?
I wasn't kidding when I said powerful words. If you're not familiar with who that was, there's a gentleman by the name of Louis Giglio. He is an author, a pastor, a tremendous speaker, really, shares the word incredibly. Hopefully, you did what I asked and you tuned in and you listened to some of those words that he was saying. You grabbed on to the point that he was making there. We have been given some incredibly powerful tools. One of them is prayer. That tool can cause the sun to stand still in the sky. It can cause rain to stop falling. It can cause prisoners to be set free. It can cause the heart of man to be changed. As men and women, as human beings, we struggle. We struggle with what we cannot see. We question the existence of things that we are unable to touch or smell or somehow experience. Because of that, we often fail to understand the importance of prayer. The very first statement that Louis made in that particular clip was, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Scripture is full of examples of this. Some I mentioned just a moment ago. Let's look at them a little closer. Joshua chapter 10, starting at verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said, that word said right there, he prayed is what he did. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. I'll pause there for just a minute. Jashar is not a biblical book, but it's a reference to other documents that exist in Old Testament times. Continue on. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There was never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. In 1 Kings, we read about Elijah, and he prayed that there would not be any rain. Earnestly, he prayed, and God stopped the rain from falling until he prayed again. 3.5 years later, rain did not fall for 3.5 years. James confirms it to us. James chapter 5. Elijah was a man just like us. Get that through your head first of all. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. When God's people pray, things change. Miracles happen. The second statement Louis made that I wanted to zero in on this morning was this one. If we could see what happens when we pray. If somehow God could open that window or open our eyes, if we could see what happens when we pray. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what is written between those two covers? From those words, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, to those final words, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people, amen. Do you believe what is written between those two sentences? Do you believe what it teaches us? Because those words tell us that when we pray, things happen. God moves. Circumstances change. That's what those words teach us. In Genesis, Abraham was very concerned about a wife for his son, and he wanted a wife from among his own people. So Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for his son. Obviously, they did things different back then. The servant had to go out and find this wife. The servant had no clue what he was doing. He didn't know who he was supposed to pick to be Abraham's daughter-in-law. He made a promise to Abraham he had no idea how to keep. None whatsoever. So he did the one thing that he knew would never, ever fail. He prayed. He prayed. He asked God, show me. Show me who it is I'm supposed to talk to. Show me who it is. Show me what woman I am supposed to bring back for Isaac as his wife. Show me, Lord. And he laid out a specific scenario so that he knew it was from God. But in Genesis 24 and 15, we read this. Before he finished praying. Before he finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. From that moment that Abraham's servant started to pray, God put things in motion so that at the exact moment that prayer and that answer would meet, they would come together at the exact right time. We read another account of this in Daniel. This time the prayer was not answered immediately as far as Daniel knew. Let's look at this a little bit this morning. The prayer, Daniel's prayer that we're going to look at in just a minute, did in fact trigger action immediately, even though Daniel didn't see the results immediately. As Daniel was praying, eventually an angel came to him and spoke to him and said this to him in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. He said, Daniel, as soon as you began to pray, the answer was given, which I have come to tell you. As soon as you began to pray, the answer was given. We have to jump down a little bit to understand this a little more to Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 12. And we'll hear about what happened here when Daniel started to pray. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. He continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." That's prayer, folks. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, that is a reference right there to Satan. The prince of the Persian kingdom. Again, Michael is an archangel. That's who we're talking about, the archangel Michael here. The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. From the moment he started praying, the answer was sent. When Louis said that angels were dispatched upon prayer, he wasn't speaking metaphorically. He was speaking literally. And here's an example of it in the text for us to read. Daniel prayed and angels were dispatched. If we could grab on to these examples, and remember, we claim the Word of God is true. We claim we believe it. We claim it's inerrant from cover to cover. If we could grab on to these examples, how much differently would we walk through life? How much differently would we see and understand the importance, the necessity of spending time in prayer? How much more would we be willing to pray without ceasing? Perhaps we need a more modern understanding of how God moves in and through the prayers of His people. As if the Word of God was not enough for us. Sometimes we want that more modern example. So I'm going to read for you this morning a first-hand testimony of how prayer changed the life of Thomas and Angela Carpenter. Listen as I read this testimony to you this morning. Thomas Carpenter couldn't move. He couldn't open his eyes, and he was having trouble figuring out why. Despite the paralysis, he wasn't panicking. In fact, he felt perfect peace. He decided that peace was because of the prayers, and that's why he had such calm. He listened attentively. At first, he heard just one or two voices, but soon the prayers began to multiply. Some voices he understood, praying in English with assured faith. Others offered only hints of meaning in languages he had encountered during his missionary travels but had never learned himself. And then there were the languages that he immediately recognized as heavenly. Voices praying in tune with the Holy Spirit, prompting in words found in no human tongue, but vibrant, alive, and providential in intent. As he continued to listen to the multitude of voices, he thought back to his favorite passage in Revelation, where the Apostle John spoke of a voice of many waters. Then from among the chorus of intercessors, Thomas heard a cherished voice praying for him specifically. It was his wife, Angela. It was like the Lord dropped a microphone in front of her, and I heard her say, "Lord, would you please heal my wonderful husband, Thomas? I need him." Had Thomas been able to open his eyes that day, there would have been no praying throng to greet him, no Pentecostal camp meeting raising the rafters. In fact, the ICU wing at Cox Medical Center in Springfield, Missouri, is deliberately kept quiet. Thomas Carpenter was unable to move or see because he was in a medically induced coma and breathing in the cadence with a ventilator. The doctors and nurses that were supervising his care were unsure how he would recover from the coronavirus that was doing its best to paralyze his lungs. They couldn't hear the prayers. The first weekend in March, we were on a missions trip with Compassion Link, and March 6th was the first day not to feel well, Angela says. I endured an extreme headache and weakness. Thomas's symptoms started 4 days later and came on hard and fast. He was having trouble breathing. By Friday, March 13th, Angela knew she had to get her husband to the emergency room. Even then, she was unaware of the deeper implications of Thomas's symptoms. After an initial interview with the CDC team member, they were allowed to go home with medication and were scheduled for COVID tests the following Monday. By the time the test confirmed they both had COVID, Thomas was beginning to decline. Angela rushed him back to the hospital that Wednesday, deeply concerned, but still believing a solution would emerge in the short run. I thought, okay, a couple of nights, he'll get some oxygen, they'll put him on some meds, he'll feel better, and we'll go home, she remembers saying. 2 nights turned into more than a month on a ventilator. The doctors told me they were literally writing the book on how to treat COVID with Thomas's case. There was no history of how a white 55-year-old male would respond. Thomas remembers the medical team members being at a loss of how they could assist him to breathe. They said, "We've got you on 100% oxygen, and your blood oxygen level is still in the low 80s. It can't go any lower," he recalls. "I called Angela in the early morning hours of March 19th and told her they were moving me to the ICU. I asked her to call my dad, my brother, my sister, and my dear friend, Pastor Wade in Florida. She called them, and she got them praying. And they mobilized troops and got others praying for me all around the world. Only after he emerged from his coma and began extensive in-hospital rehabilitation did Thomas learn of the scale of intercession offered on his behalf. Facebook and other social media outlets became highways for repeated requests for his family and friends and for assurances of prayer support, as well as written prayers and words of prophecy by the thousands. While the internet silently conveyed that idea, heaven saw fit to broadcast it loud and clear directly to Thomas. Experiencing what he describes as a stadium full of praying Christ followers, punctuated by his wife's specific prayer. Thomas says he began to sense his own commitment to pull through and to reach for that healing. "It kept me from having one foot in heaven and one on earth. It made me realize I needed to get both feet back on earth so that I could take care of my wife again." Thomas carried the memory of those prayers into consciousness as his medications were reduced and he was weaned off the ventilator. A final confirmation of God's direct intervention came to light when he went home and shared the experience with Angela, who was never allowed in his quarantined room and had to faithfully pray for him from a distance. "She almost melted when I told her about her prayer for me. When he recited it to me," Angela said, "I was shocked. It was word for word what I had prayed. I said those were my exact words." He said, "I know. I heard them." Thomas and Angela both feel they have gained a deeper understanding of the power of prayer. When people say, "Oh, well, you know, all we can do is pray," they don't really understand the significance of prayer. Those prayers are being poured out continuously before the throne of God. And he hears them, every one of them, whether they're whispered in silence, cried out, or shouted, the Lord hears them. Your prayers are not useless. They're not bouncing off the ceiling. You may not see the answer to your prayer immediately, because I sure didn't. I was in the hospital a lot longer after I had heard those prayers. But your prayers are effective. When you commit to praying, know that your prayers are effective. Prayer made an incredible difference in Thomas and Angela's life. By the way, they are USAG missionaries with Compassion Link. And they minister to young kids with disabilities. They are an incredible couple. If you or I, if we could experience, if we could grab on to the visual of what happens when we pray, would we pray more? Would we take that piece of our spiritual life more seriously than we do even today? Some of us are sitting here saying, well, I pray. I spend time in prayer. That's fine. That's all good. No. No, you don't get it. The power of prayer. We wouldn't say something like that if we truly knew the power that existed in the prayers that we put before our Lord. If only we could learn to pray the way the Word teaches us to pray. To understand that fervent prayer makes an incredible difference. So today I end by asking all of us, myself included, how does our prayer life need to change? Do we treat prayer as if it's a burden, or do we see it as an absolute privilege? Author E.M. Bounds, he's credited with writing 11 books in his lifetime. 9 of them are devoted to prayer. He made this statement regarding our attitude in prayer. Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed. A rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. If we could see what happens when we pray, if we could see those mountains that are moved, if we could see the angels that are dispatched, if we could see the doors that are thrown open, if we could see the course of people altered, or the provisions that come from prayer, or the attitudes that are changed, would we learn to pray differently? Would we learn to pray continually? Would we learn to function in that privileged work that we have been called to in Christ Jesus? Can we begin to understand just how powerful and effective prayer is? And that every one of us, sitting here or watching from home, every one of us, are invited to be a part of that powerful work. Every one of us. Can we see what prayer does? Lord, I come before you this morning absolutely in awe of what we are told prayer does. God, I stand here and I confess to you, Lord, I don't pray enough. I don't pray the way I should. I'm not that powerful, fervent prayer that I'm supposed to be. God, forgive us for that. God, change us. You have asked us to be a part of your plan, of your purpose for this world, and you want to hear from us. Not that we have the answers, not that we make it right, but God, you want us to be a part of it. God, help us to understand that. I do pray, as crazy as it might sound, God, I pray that somehow you would open that curtain and we would be able to see the power of prayer. God, you can do that. You can give us dreams and visions, and you can show us the work that is being done. God, help us to see that. Help us to hear that, just as you did for Thomas. God, let us know how incredibly important and powerful prayer is in our lives. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, as we leave this place now and we head home and we go in our own direction, God, help us to think through these words over and over and over, to see how powerful prayer is. Protect us this week. Help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.